welcome everybody to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Today's April 14th, 2018, and we're here live. We're simulcasting on KMIL right here at 105.1 FM and in Rockdale at KRXT 98.5 FM. So all you Rockdaleonians out there, give us a call here, 254-697-6633. Also, you people here in Cameron and all around the listening area, the number here is 254-697-6633. As always, ladies and gentlemen, I start my day off with a cup of fresh Joe from CEFCO here at Hilltop in Cameron. Go to Hilltop, CEFCO, and Cameron. Get your coffee. They also got a special going on for Monsters. I guess it's because all the scary movies coming out. The promo is two Monsters for $4. So go out there, check it out. Get your coffee, smokes, paper, whatever it takes to get your day rolling. Hilltop, CEFCO, and Cameron. If you want to make contact with us here at the show, you can give us a call, 254-697-6633. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or go directly to the website at aaronsgunshop.com. We have a lot going on today in this show, so I'm going to give you the show highlights to get you prepped so you can get your proper note-taking materials ready because there's a lot of good information coming down. First, true stories of self-defense from American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. It's going to be the current issue. If you got yours, you might want to open it up. I forget what the page number is. But it's amazing how, if we listen to these stories, we can see good patterns and bad patterns of self-defense. So let's see what patterns show up today when it comes to good and bad patterns. Now, in my license to carry attorney segment, I'm going to have a 1-2 punch, I hope, with both Super Attorney Rick Dodd and Attorney Extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson here talking 10th Amendment, state rights, and city ordinances and how they can affect a license to carry holder and more. Should prove to be very enlightening. Today's topic of interest will give our upcoming events that you can participate at Aaron's Gun Shop, so get your calendars ready. And after that, the delicious Janae Goodman will be on with another tactical snacking segment. This week is going to be weird and wacky food and bizarre facts. Now, Trey, that should be a crazy segment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. There was that little pun that I tried to do. It didn't work. Went over like a lead balloon. At 11 o'clock, you felt okay. At 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the connoisseur of common sense and all-around good guy. He'll be giving us more words of experience to help us protect ourselves. Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Now, today's product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and the Heidenhammer, is the Citadel M122 carbine. If you're a World War II enthusiast, this is one neat little plinker that looks like the real thing. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, and you'll see a picture of me holding it. It's beautiful. It's one-to-one scale, wood stock, the whole works. I'll be talking about that a little bit later on in the program. If you know what they are and you're hungry for one, give ANC Firearms a call at 254-983-4417, and they'll take care of you. My special guest today, Kyle Van Cleve, owner of Cameron Small Engine Repair, will be popping in briefly to tell us what specials he's got going on that can help us with our spring and summer gardening and lawn care. So that should prove interesting. He's always got some great products there. Also, during that segment, I'll be throwing in some WTFs and whatever else grabs me. So stay tuned for that. You never know what's going to happen in that segment. Then, to close up the show, Master Cindy Key will be kicking my rear end with this week's martial arts tip. Master Key owns Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. So get ready, strap yourselves in, crank up the volume, get your note-taking material ready, because we're going to start the show, and we're going to start it with true stories of self-defense coming out of the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column, and it's the April 2018 issue on page 10. So follow along. Story number one. Indianapolis prosecutors have determined that a woman who is arrested in connection with a shooting death won't face murder charges because she was ruled to have acted in self-defense. Officials originally sought the armed citizen in connection with possible murder charges because she wasn't at the scene when the police showed up. After she learned that she was a person of interest in a death investigation, the woman turned herself in. Witnesses, under the later questioning, informed police that they had seen the fight that at one point resulted in the woman being pinned against a fence. Gunshots were heard after that point. This is a weird story. Here's my commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, this story interests me in a legal sense. Ricky, you might be raising your eyebrow on this one. The woman, I guess, fired shots at the aggressor, then left the scene, and only made herself known once she knew she was a person of interest. I think what we've learned from our lawyer segment is to get out of the danger first, then report it. This woman missed step two, but thankfully she wasn't charged. Would that be a quick an assessment, proper assessment, Rick?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, whenever you have shots fired, the police are going to come investigate, and investigation would be an attempt to identify who fired the shots, right?
That's just weird, because she does the shots, you would think, I probably am that person of interest, you know, but she just goes her merry little way.
Well, you know, no harm, no foul, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, right. All right, story number two.
Lucky she missed for her.
Did she miss? I thought she hit.
Oh, maybe she did. Then she certainly was a person of interest.
Okay. Well, when they write these stories, you know, I got to try and read between the lines. But story number two. Politicians in Chicago may have noted apathy towards guns, but one city resident is alive today because he stood by his Second Amendment protected right staunchly enough to get a carry permit. A 58-year-old man was accosted by an armed thug on the street one day. The bad guy allegedly pulled a gun and demanded his would-be victim's valuables. Instead, his quarry drew his lawfully carried handgun and shot his assailant. The 23-year-old robber later died. Police found the gun the dead man apparently used at the crime scene. Now, my commentary on story number two. Ladies and gentlemen, this man fought hard to get his license, and thank goodness he got it. Otherwise, things may have turned out differently. The only thing I can say is, when you work hard to get that license, also work hard on learning how to use your weapon. The training doesn't stop once the license is in your wallet. Story number three. For those of you who say armed citizens don't prevent crime, and you know who you are, tell them about an Ohio case that illustrates just that. A resident heard a tapping noise early in the morning that he figured was someone trying to get into his home. So he grabbed his gun and met the intruder at the front door. At the mere sight of the gun, the interloper turned tail and ran. After the armed citizen called the police, they investigated and tracked down the suspect and charged him with aggravated trespassing. My commentary. Trey, you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, let's all say it together. What did the homeowner do when he heard the noise?
Grabbed his gun first.
Very good. I can't believe you actually listened to me, Trey. All right, story number four. When a man in Merced, California, kicked in the door of a home of a man armed with a shotgun, it proved to be a deadly mistake.
You think?
The intruder apparently had been out drinking and thought he was forcing his way into a home of an acquaintance with whom he had a beef. It was after 10 p.m. and the homeowner fired a shot in self-defense, investigators said, after the stranger approached the armed citizen even though the gun was at the ready. The alleged burglar was taken to the hospital where he later died. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing else needs to be said except that's the way you do it. In this case, that's right. Who cares if it's a friend and you're busting down the door? I mean, you just don't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as always, I'm not going to let you down. I have my opinion piece here.
And, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Get ready, Rick. Opinion piece. Victim or victor? Ladies and gentlemen, it's your choice. What's it going to be? Victim or victor? I guess to be sure, we should know the definition of each. Let's start with the victim. Victim is a noun. Definition is which a person harmed, injured, or killed as a result of a crime, accident, or other event or action. Some synonyms would be suffer, injured, or injured party, casualty, fatality, okay, loss or loser. Now let's go over the victor, definition of a victor. It's a noun, and it reads, a person who defeats an enemy or opponent in battle, game, or other competition. Some synonyms would be winner, champion, conqueror, hero, vanquisher, champ, or top dog. Well, heck, I don't know about you, but for me, it's an easy pick, victor. Even though there's a small amount of chance when becoming a victor, it mostly happens by training and preparedness. The more you train, the more you prepare, the more you're likely to succeed in a battle, whatever that battle may be. In this case, I'm talking self-defense against an aggressor. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is not rocket science. The more you prepare your mindset, your body, and your skill at arms, the more chance you have of becoming a victor and not a victim. But honestly, I see more and more victims in waiting than I do victors. Being victorious is a three-prong attack. Mind, body, and mechanics. If you have one or two and not all three, your odds of success when it comes to self-defense with your weapon is greatly diminished. The mind is the want and desire to carry a weapon, getting the license, the gun, accessories, etc. The body is just being able to maneuver it and be in some kind of decent shape to be able to handle your firearms. The mechanics is knowing how to use your weapon while under stress. Key phrase, under stress. Reading books, watching YouTube, talking with friends, buying accessories, and just shooting at paper targets will not give you a decisive edge. It's going to the range that offers advanced training to put you under pressure so you can see where your weak areas are and develop them. That's why I push hard, competing in the round-robin competitions that Aaron's Gun Shop offers every second Friday of the month. You'll get more training in 20 minutes than you'll get all night at a paper target just standing there. Being a victim is easy. It doesn't take much at all, literally. Being a victor takes a mindset and a willingness to do the extra training that's necessary. Don't be the next statistic on a police report. Start training to be victorious in any self-defense scenario that may arise. There is always a chance you could lose, but I'd rather go down fighting than just go down. And with that, Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have Super Attorney Rick Dodd talking 10th Amendment, state rights, city ordinances, and anything else we can throw in there. See you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
Are you fed up with sports talk shows that water down the truth and cover sports you really don't care about?
Then it's time for Bleacher Bum Radio, Central Texas' only answer to those namby-pamby sports talk shows. Join me, Buffalo Bill Whitmire, and the Bleacher Bums on KMIL 105.1 The Ranch as we bring you all the hot takes with our own special brand of commentary on all things sports. From the guys who can't even get into the tailgate, Bleacher Bum Radio every Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8:30 and again from 9:20 to 9:50.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program, April 14th, 2018, and we are in our attorney license to carry segment. I've got the super attorney, Rick Dodd, sitting to my left. Rick, welcome, as always.
It's good to be
great
here.
Great to have you here.
I'm looking forward to getting some food today and tomorrow. I know out at the 17th annual Mark Run, that's the Milam Adult Resources Center, they're having a fundraiser at the ranch in Rockdale. I'd encourage everybody to go out there. If you have a bike, that'd be great. If you have a car, if you have a truck, or if you just want to run down the road, come on out. About 4 o'clock out there, you can have dinner. It's only $25 for two people. So it'll be worth it. It'll keep you from getting hungry. Then tomorrow, at the Santa Monica's Ladies Festival over at Simon George here in Cameron, you got barbecue chicken and green sausage. Or you can have barbecue chicken, or you can have sausage. They got it all, and that is a fundraiser. Both of these are fundraisers, so let's go on out there and support our community and the folks who need that help.
Hey, Trey, you're going to have to mute my microphone because my stomach's growling from all that food.
You'll enjoy it.
I'm sure. Well, Rick, you had said something last week. We touched briefly. We were going all over the place, but you made a comment, or I made a comment. You gave an answer about Sidney Orange's, and then I started thinking about state rights and separation between Fed and the state. So let's talk about this, because well, I really don't know what to ask.
You got the right person here. You know, I grew up in North Milam County in a small cotton farm, sharecrop, and there was little else we'd talk about at the evening meal except the 10th Amendment.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, the 10th Amendment's all about states' rights, and it's a really short amendment. Let me just read it to you here. It's like 4 lines long. It says, "The power not designated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectfully or to the people." Now, if you're a libertarian, if you're like a Rand Paul type, you love the 10th Amendment. I mean, you love it so much that you want to marry it and have babies with it. I mean, it's right up there on top of the things that are most important in your life. And it says what it says. And, of course, a lot of people say, well, it's not consistent with what's happening because the federal government is taking so many powers and doing so much. But it does say what is enumerated. So it's sort of like if your parents were to put a post-it note on the refrigerator and give you the right to cook supper tonight or sleep over with someone else at your friend's house. You would have those stated rights, but the rest of it would be your parents' business. So you have to, you know, understand that the stuff that is in the Constitution reserved for the federal government is the only thing the federal government is supposed to be dealing with. And there's about 30, 35 of those, and just a few of the big examples is they have the right to tax. Here we are coming up on April 15th. Mm-hmm. We know they got that right. They have that power, I guess is really what I'm saying, the power to do
tax, all right.
Mm-hmm. They have the power to provide us a common defense, and of course we're all real happy about that. They got a tax before they can do that, so we're happy about the defense part. They have the right to borrow money, which some of us are not so happy about.
Not at all.
But then again, we wouldn't want to pay more taxes either to get the services that we're getting, so maybe we're not so unhappy about them borrowing the money to provide that. They have the right to regulate commerce, declare war, build a post office, coin money. So we say, well, where are they getting all these other opportunities or powers? How is that happening? Well, it's simple. The simple answer is found in Article 1, Section 8. Article 1, Section 8, the very last paragraph says, the last paragraph in Section 8 of Article 1 says, "To make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the following foregoing powers." So if they have the right to make coins, wouldn't it stand to reason that they had had the right to draw up a seal to put on those coins? And wouldn't it stand to reason that they'd have a right to buy trucks to carry those coins around in? And then when coins become obsolete and we started making paper money, wouldn't it stand to reason that they had the right to print money? So these are powers that are invested. Now, the big one for us to concern ourselves with here today is interstate commerce. And the reason I say that is because that's the big one in pretty much all of the constitutional arguments that are presented to the Supreme Court of the United States. And everybody's here. Matt, you're lucky here today because I'm here again. You know, we talked a little else.
I'm listening with fascination.
And you know, in 15 or 20 minutes, I'm going to tell y'all how this 10th Amendment thing works. Whereas otherwise, Ross and I would have spent hours in a doctorate level classroom listening to professors drawing on about it. We would have spent hours in the library reading books that on this particular subject. And we would have spent a lot more hours late at night studying for and reading case law, cases that interpreted the Supreme Court interpretation of what the Constitution says.
And I got to say something, Rick, because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, okay? I just get by. And when I read the Constitution and I say, okay, this is what it means, it always seems like something trumps it. No pun intended there. It always seems like something trumps what it looks like in the Constitution. No, but you didn't think about this or that or the other. So that's why you're talking here. I hope this is going to just open it up and clarify a lot of things.
Go ahead. For instance, to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper. I mean, you could sit around and argue all day what's necessary. You could sit around all day and argue what's proper. But if it's one or the other and not both, it's not enough. It's got to be necessary and proper.
I know, and that's voted upon based on who we've got elected into those positions. So it's.
I was going to say, who's the final arbitrator of what's...
The United States Supreme Court.
Okay.
They tell us what these words mean, and they write an opinion about what they mean, and they always write it just a little bit vague. In other words, they don't want to go past the subject matter that's in front of them and try to speak about something else. But then us lawyers, we get a hold of their opinions and we say, well, that's what this means when the Supreme Court writes it. And then pretty soon we're back in front of the Supreme Court, which is why we have a litany or a list of cases that we all look at as lawyers and as the general public and say, well, these are bellwether cases. These are the cases we look to when we try to decide and figure out what it is that Constitution means. So it really has to do with what is necessary and proper in carrying into execution. So let me give you an example. Interstate commerce. Interstate commerce is something that has evolved over the years since the 1700s. Obviously, our commerce from between California and Texas didn't even exist back when they wrote the Constitution.
I got to ask a question because that word inter and intra, isn't there a difference between the two?
Oh, yeah. Interstate means from one state to another, over the state lines.
And intra is within the state?
Within the state.
Okay,
that's right. So we have, when you look, drive by a soybean field, for instance, every third row of that soybean field is going to go to China. Every third row of that choice soybean is going to go somewhere beside China. And every third row is going to stay here in the United States. So there you have all the soybeans in the United States. They're going to be commerced out. So we have reasonable and necessary rules to take care of commerce. So what does that mean in the long run, though? So we have the Department of Agriculture that helps with the agriculture processes here in the United States. Some farmers may disagree, but a lot of others will agree that they help farmers, generally speaking, grow crops because the United States has a big export of crops. So that's important for our commerce. So a hog farmer is growing some corn somewhere up in Iowa, and he's harvesting that corn, and he's feeding it to his hogs. And when the United States Department of Agriculture comes into his place and says, look, you're doing this against the rules of the United States Department of Agriculture, he says, no, I'm not. I'm beyond the Constitution on this, and the federal government has no right to regulate this because I'm not involved in interstate commerce. So, you know, arguments go out through the court system, district court, all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States, where they say, yeah, maybe so, but split decision. majority ruled that he was involved in interstate commerce because he was selling his pigs. The pigs that ate the corn that he argued was not involved in interstate commerce. So there you go. There's the kind of stuff where we all can appreciate and agree that, well, this is just not as black and white as it looks when it says shall be reserved for the state. And that's the lesson of the day.
Help me here, Trey, because I'm a little speechless. I'm running in my brain. What?
But it was so easy to understand, I'm telling you.
No, you're talking to the people who have intelligence. Talk to me, one with rocks in my brain.
I understand the ruling. It seems kind of...
overreaching?
Yeah.
Overbearing? Well, let's. I think that's what the dissent, the folks who didn't agree with the majority on the Supreme Court was saying.
I mean, that's just...
this is pushing it a little bit far.
Yeah, you're setting up and you can say that, well... you use your tractor, and the fuel from your tractor goes across state lines.
Amen.
You bought that fuel. That's interstate commerce.
Yeah. Well, is it reasonable? Is it necessary? Is it proper? You know,
why would they push that point? What's the benefit of it? Because of financial gain by doing that?
When you say they, who you mean?
The feds.
Oh, well, yeah, they're trying to regulate commerce for the benefit of all of us, is what their point is.
Let's break it down simple. And when we're saying 10th Amendment, clarify what the state actually has the right to do. I know you mentioned it already, but say it in layman's terms, basic, plain, simple terms.
They have the right to do everything that is not specifically enumerated in the Constitution.
But you're saying we're going here
and
go back again.
The federal government can do or needs to do that is necessary and proper to implement those enumerated rights.
But like you just explained, what may look black and white gets all fuzzy because his tractor with the gas screws that whole scenario up, right?
Well, it's true. The again, when they wrote the Constitution and they built the Bill of Rights, there was no interstate commerce like there is today. Our world has shrunk. Back when this was written, no one knew what China did or wanted to do, or they knew very little about those closed-off nations. And now everything is wide open. We get in a car, and we can be in Temple in 30 minutes. Back in those days, it took a couple of days to get that far. We can get in an airplane and be in California in just a few hours, or we can be on the other side of the world in a day, whereas it took Magellan, I think, 3 years. And, of course, he didn't make it himself, but it took like 3 years to get around the world.
Can you give me a clear-cut example of a situation now that would be a clear-cut case of state rights saying, hey, you've overreached and we want to stop you because of the rights we have as a state, as written in the Constitution? Anything on the top of your head that you can illustrate?
Well, a lot of the criminal laws are states' right laws. Of course, the federal laws come into play, too. And I guess the answer is no. I mean, there's nothing in particular except some of the rules and regulations that we have in the state to eliminate and help prosecute crime. But, of course, we know that the federal government also has an interest in that because they are involved in interstate commerce and they are involved in health care and drugs and Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and all the things that are necessary and proper to implement those things.
How about this one? What if a state says, I have the right to secede, and they want to go for it, but you know Uncle Sam is not going to let that happen? Uncle Sam went crazy when Rick Perry just even like made the quick comment, we'll secede.
Well,
so how does...
We don't want to talk about who might be crazy in that scenario, but...
no, I'm not trying to say that. What I'm trying to get at, that would be an example of a state having the state right to say if they wanted to...
Legal drinking age. Legal drinking age is supposed to be... Isn't legal drinking age supposed to be a state right?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's supposed to be, but then the federal government says, well, if you allow people to drink above the age of 18, we're going to cut off federal funding for your highway system. And highway system, guess what, is interstate commerce.
Ah, oh, jeez.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to me that there's a whole bunch of ways to violate the spirit of the Constitution. You'll get away with
Well, the spirit of the Constitution, again, you have to understand that our society is changing, that people have, our population increases and our taxes increase and our defense needs increase, our interstate commerce increases, and, you know, it's all part of the same minutiae that the Constitution speaks to. And you can certainly argue, and a lot of people have, and it's going on all the time in front of the Supreme Court in the United States, Washington, D.C. area, that the federal government is overreaching. But then again, when the federal government does things for the good of the people, we're not necessarily embarrassed or ashamed of that. It's funny when people say, well, let's go down and meet at the courthouse and protest about there being too much government. It's funny when people stand on the park, the national park, holding a sign that says, keep your dirty hands off of my Medicaid. I mean, people complain and people concern themselves with this states' rights issue when it is well-developed and well-argued by a lot of people who know a whole lot about the Constitution and the issues that are before them. And these decisions that do come out of the Supreme Court are well-studied. And we may not agree with all of them. We may agree heavily with some of them, not others. And that's just the way it is, because we don't all agree about things. And that's why they have the court system in the first place.
I get just very frustrated at topics like this. I really do. Because I look at the Constitution, from what I read, and what you, that list of paper, list of things you have in that paper right there, as a core element. Yet people, in my opinion, have, either for good reason or not, let's say it's for good reason, they think, well, no, you misread it, and this is what it means, so this is why we needed to do these certain things with the federal government. But then there's other times where there's people like, hey, you know, if I do this and get this passed, it benefits me, my company, the whole concept of that. And so it gets really fuzzy, and I get irritated with that. So if I want to stick with the core element of what, how it was written, I understand your point about how it's growing and expanding, but there's some things in that Constitution Bill of Rights that should never, ever be.
Well, for instance, Matt, the Equal Protection Clause, the 14th Amendment, you know, we all are supposed to be treated equal, and the law shall apply, be applied equally, whether they're state laws, city ordinances, or federal ordinances, they shall be applied equally to everyone. And just because you live in Montana doesn't mean that you get better treatment than if you live in Florida. And if you are someone of different nationality, but you're a citizen of the United States, you have the right to equal protection. And a lot of the opinions that come out about the Constitution that allow us to review these enumerated rules and what is necessary and proper are considered under the umbrella of the Equal Protection Clause. So you may be frustrated by it because you are who you are, and someone else may be very happy about it because they are who they are. So that's my point. I mean, it's not there to make everybody happy. It's impossible. So, yeah, we may be a little concerned about the what we could call the degradation of states' rights. But again, whatever degradations are happening are well considered.
I don't sit here easy. I'm ignorant.
That's what it is.
I am ignorant on a lot of this stuff. I really want to be better at it, but I don't. That's why I love having you on here. But there's just so, it gets so intertwined, and when you think you're just about to get it, Rick throws in another aspect of it, and I'm like, what? Man, what about this one here? You're talking about city ordinances. This one puzzles me. How, if you're a licensed to carry person, for example, can a city, one city A and city B here have two different ordinances, and you're going from city A to city B thinking one thing, and all of a sudden, bam, you're stuck in city B with another ordinance that can get you in possible trouble? Doesn't that cause major confusion?
Yes, it does cause major confusion. One thing that does cut out a lot of the confusion is that the cities, they can write ordinances, but they cannot write an ordinance that is in conflict with the state law insofar as the conflict allows them to have a lesser penalty. In other words, if a state law says, if you do this, you will be charged, and if convicted, you will spend between 20 and life in prison, or two years to 20 years in prison, second-degree felony. A city ordinance can't say that if you do this same thing, you can get 1 to 15 years, because that's less than the state. Now, they can say, if you do this in our city, and of course I'm talking about years, and cities don't do ordinances that have anything to do with years in prison, but it has to be more than whatever the state says the penalties are. So,
how can they do that? I don't understand how they can
do that. Well, they're a governmental entity, and governmental entities have the right to promulgate laws. And if you live within, or you hang out within, or you cross within those boundaries of that government, you have to abide by their laws.
And ladies and gentlemen, you wonder why you pay a lot of money for an attorney? It's because this guy is a walking encyclopedia of information here. It's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, you know, we did study the Constitution, and again, I'm all about the Constitution. So the Constitution is not vague. The Constitution is well written and well studied, and it fits in a little bitty book. But my gosh, if you go into a law library and you go to the constitutional section, it's like reams of books. Of course, now it's all on your cell phone.
In your opinion, Rick, is that written in legalese to some degree?
Or oh, heck no.
So it's written in pretty plain
sure it is. And
plain language.
The 10th Amendment, when they wrote it, the writers of the 10th Amendment simply wanted to reinstate something that we well knew, and that was that the federal government has limited powers. The federal government has powers that are set out within the Constitution, and otherwise the state should have those rights, just like the little refrigerator note that I talked about a little while ago.
Second Amendment says shall not be infringed. However, it's infringed upon constantly. Freedom of speech.
Well,
I understand you don't yell fire
there. When you say it's being infringed upon constantly, I don't agree with that. I mean, again, our society changes.
I'll give you an example. Feinstein, she's one of the people who said, if I could get rid of them all, if I could make a vote and take guns away from Mr. and Mrs. USA, I'd do it. And she's in a position of power. And whoever elected that witch.
Well, she hasn't done that.
But she's trying very hard. That's
she's made a statement which she can have an opinion.
One of the things that the Constitution allows us to do is to amend the Constitution. Okay? So if anyone's going to be able to take away all of our guns, there will need to be an amendment to the Constitution. So that's a possibility. And again, when we have the ability to do things, again, you know, I've said this before, and I'll give you this example one more time. How about if I get my suitcase with my A-bomb in it, I can bear that thing. Or even better yet, if I get me a cruise missile on the back of my semi, I can bear that cruise missile with an A-bomb right on the tip of it. Do I have that right, Matt, to do that? And I should be, because the Second Amendment says I have the right to keep and bear arms, right? Is that what you're selling me?
No, what I'm saying is you got these people arguing they had muskets. We should stick with muskets, and we're at AR-15s, okay? So when you start saying that, that's not equal to a musket. Go ahead. Who's on the
line? Well, I mean, but it's a modern weapon.
Welcome to the show. Who we got calling here? Thank you very much for calling.
Yes, could you tell me when you're going to update your internet page?
Man, we're doing a radio show. You'll have to call up after the show. Thanks. Okay, Rick, let's...
So when are you going to update your internet page?
As soon as we get done with the show.
All right.
Okay. All right, so we've got... I talked about ordinance. Look, that's why I'm a shooter and not a lawyer, okay? There's certain things I know how to do, and there's other things that are best laid in your hands, but it confuses me to a great extent sometimes. I guess I'm a purist, which should be actually a realist, because
we all think
able to sleep better.
We think we're all purist. We think we're all realist. And we all think we're all reasonable. And we all think that the stuff we do is necessary. We think that about ourselves. But, you know, the guy that lives down on, the other side of Main Street or First Street or in another town, he may think differently, but he's still a United States citizen, and he still has the equal protection of the Constitution. So the Second Amendment says what it says. And, yes, those are arguments out there about the musket. And, you know, the A-bomb has evolved. So if you're going to say you have every right to carry a 200-round clipped semi-automatic weapon or automatic weapon, then what about the A-bomb example?
So okay, Rick,
it can always be carried to an extreme.
Let's cut the A-bomb thing. Let me get back to this. This is what I'm trying to get at. We're going so extreme with the weaponry here. What I'm talking about of infringement is, why should I have a city council, or anybody for that matter, saying I cannot walk around with a handgun concealed let's make it to the simplest form. When I'm talking about infringement, I'm talking about, why are you trying to take away or impede my right to be able to defend myself on the street? You are taking away, not you, but the person doing that is taking away my right to walk in a certain area that I need to do personal business with. Let's say I got to go to a medical facility that's in that locale. But you're telling me I can't go in there to defend myself. I'm not the crazy. And even if I was crazy, I'd rather be let anybody carry a gun who does their 44-73 to have some background check to say, yeah, he's good. Yeah, it slips through the cracks. I would rather take the chance that one nutcase is going to do something, but I've got the ability to stop him as compared to not having the ability to carry a weapon, and multiple nutcases can take me out at any time. That's what I'm getting at. I want to keep it basic and simple when I say Second Amendment rights. Stop infringing upon my ability to defend myself. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, okay, first off, I love guns. I have a lot of guns, and certainly the concept of someone taking my guns away does not fit well at all with my personality.
I'm not saying taking them away, Rick. I'm saying restricting my ability to carry. I'm just telling the audience,
though, that I'm a big believer in the Second Amendment, just like I am the whole Constitution. But there are certain limitations here, and when you talk about this ordinance and you get really uptight about it, what you got to understand is if it violates the Constitution, it is illegal and will be removed. We noticed, I think in the news, there's been a situation lately where a city ordinance caused someone to get arrested, and then like the next Monday, there was a city council meeting, and guess what? They removed the ordinance.
That's right.
And because they knew that there was going to be a battle. Fortunately for the person who got arrested, he was a member of a group that had the kind of money necessary to fight the fight in the court system. And the city recognized that it was fixing to cost them not only a bunch of money, but probably that they were just flat wrong. So, yay, the ordinance was removed. So you should be happy about that.
Well, of course I'm happy about that, but we're deviating from truly what I'm trying to get at.
Well,
let's say, for example, look, really, you don't need to walk around the street with a machine gun. I get it. You don't need to walk around with a M203 grenade launcher. I get it. You know, you just don't.
Well, why do you need to walk around with a semi-automatic shotgun? I mean, why do you need to do that?
Well, it was never a problem back in the day. You could have it in the back of your truck window. But I want to stick specifically to the ability to defend yourself. If your weapon of choice is a rifle, a shotgun, a pistol, and that's what you want to defend yourself, why do you take away my right to do so because you're so hung? Now, listen, if it's a jail, I get it. This is the reasonable stuff, the realistic stuff.
And proper.
And not the purest stuff. I totally get it. That's common sense. But in general, you got it where because somebody's scared of a gun, you're going to take away my right? I just don't get it.
Well, you can't take away your rights that are given to you by the Constitution.
But you can impede them.
You can impede them. So what is reasonable and what is proper? I mean, those are all things up to someone's imagination. Is it reasonable and proper for someone to ride their bicycle with a semi-automatic rifle strapped over the shoulder for 200 or 300 miles across Texas? Well, the Constitution gives them that right. So in my opinion, it would be reasonable and proper. Would the law enforcement people have the right to stop that person and check on them to see if they are one of those crazies that you speak about? Because they don't know.
If they do something for probable cause.
I don't know. I'm kind of feeling comfortable if I see somebody walking down the street here in Cameron carrying a semi-automatic rifle strapped over the shoulder.
How
the police go up and say, hey, sir, what's your business here with that semi-automatic? I kind of would hope the police
You're old enough to know that people have been driving up and down the roads with guns in their trucks, the whole works, and nobody ever worried about it. It's the last 20 years everybody's been putting on diapers. Okay, they just haven't. They're so scared of everything. They're sitting in their rooms with their laptops or whatever, and they don't get out and see the daylight and go fishing and hunting and all this kind of stuff. And they're scared to death. And the upbringing of respecting a weapon is gone. So don't tell me it's the gun. It's the upbringing of people who have lost it.
Well, you know, and again, that has to do with my comment about our society is changing. And maybe it's changing for the worse, but we should do something about that. I mean,
I'm in the wrong
century. Some of these video games I've seen are just wow. I'm like, wow, how did that get out on the market?
Yeah, exactly.
But the reason it got out on the market is because the amendment that allows us to have free speech and commerce, and you know, there's nothing wrong with those as far as that goes. So we can infringe on the people's right to watch and play those video games.
But they've always had pornography. They've always had 8mm films and all that kind of stuff. But you get your child going to one of those places looking at stuff, you're going to jack them up. Nowadays, it's like, hey, You got it on your phone? Let me see. That's the way we've gotten to it.
Yeah.
How much time, Trey?
We are over.
That's fine. We're doing good.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Ladies and gentlemen,
thanks, everybody. I appreciate y'all going out to the Mark and to the Simon Jars tomorrow.
Tell everybody how they get a hold of you, what you do, Rick, so they know. Rick and his firm is a very major sponsor of the program. I can't thank you guys enough for sponsoring the show. And all the other sponsors, too. We couldn't stay on the air without you guys. So tell them how to get a hold of you.
We represent people who have been harmed by others or by others' products. This week, we spent quite a bit of time down at the office working some truck wreck cases. Some people were killed by big trucks that slammed into them. And one of the things that we learned from that kind of litigation is that there's usually a reason besides the truck driver blinked. In other words, it's something that is long term, like they're driving too many hours, or they're systematically driving too fast, or they're carrying loads that are too big, or they haven't checked their equipment, the tires are bad. So it's not just like a momentary lapse of negligence. What we find is that this is a long-term situation, and that seems to be true across the board, whether it's a products case like asbestos or some of the chemicals that are out there, or some of the products like cars that roll over and crush people. It has to do with a race for profits or just a systematic overlooking of a dangerous situation for whatever reason. Either it saves time or mostly money for the company. So that's what we do.
Okay, so they got your number, right? Check it out. If you forget, just go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the radio page, and we've got a link to his website. And if you need help, you can get in contact with him in that manner. So, Rick, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on. Trey, take us out. When we come back, we'll probably touch it up with Tactical Snacking and Janae Goodman and all the crazinesses when it comes to food.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yacht equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Are you fed up with sports talk shows that water down the truth and cover sports you really don't care about? Then it's time for Bleacher Bum Radio, Central Texas' only answer to those namby-pamby sports talk shows. Join me, Buffalo Bill Whitmire, and the Bleacher Bums on KMIL 105.1 The Ranch as we bring you all the hot takes with our own special brand of commentary on all things sports. From the guys who can't even get into the tailgate, Bleacher Bum Radio every Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8:30 and again from 9:20 to 9:50.
A trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Hello, my lovelies. Today I'm dishing up the good, the bad, and the downright weird facts about food that will keep you craving more. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. Did you know there's a list of foods that look like the body part they're supposed to benefit? For example, walnuts are great for your brain. When you slice a carrot, it looks kind of like the iris of your eye. Celery is reminiscent of our bones. Tomatoes work miracles for our hearts. And clams kind of look like You know what, ladies and gentlemen? I'll let you leave that one to your imagination. Anyone ever tell you you're sweeter than bee vomit? Because that's what they might as well say, considering how honey is made. When a bee collects nectar from a flower, it stores it until the bee arrives back to the hive. The nectar is then chewed and spit out into the cells of the hive for safekeeping. A typical beehive produces about 7 pounds of honey each day. That's more than enough to keep the bees happy and full. Carrots come in a rainbow of colors, such as yellow, purple, red, white, and of course, orange. Although orange is now the most common color, they hadn't even existed until Prince William of Nassau came along. Purple carrots actually used to be the most common. To honor Prince William for leading the revolution of the Dutch against the Spanish, orange carrots were developed by introducing a higher level of beta-carotene, the thing that makes carrots orange in the first place, to the carrot plant. Being something new and exciting, many embraced the new orange carrot, and that became the norm. If you need a reason to think about what you eat, I'll give you the best one I can think of. Food dyes. Many times we see these dyes on our store-bought products, and we don't think twice about where they come from. Red dye 40 is a synthetic coloring derived from petroleum. Carmine comes from carbonic acid, or in layman's terms, bugs. The cochineal bug has been around for centuries and is a common ingredient in commercial products. But don't worry, not all food dyes are synthetic or artificially made. Many natural dyes exist as well, such as turmeric for yellow tones and annatto seeds and paprika for red. Several foods can also be used for natural dye in your kitchen. You're not quite off the hook yet. If you're a fan of jelly beans, you might want to slow down. This chewy treat can be coated with shellac, a substance that's created from beetle excrement, red poop. If you want your candy to have a shiny texture, it can be found in your ingredient list as confectioner's glaze. Bananas are botanically a berry. A berry, in this case, is defined as a fruit that's produced by a single flower with more than one ovary. Basically, the end result, a fruit with several interlaying seeds. Other foods included in this definition are eggplants, pomegranates, and grapes. Newsflash, strawberries are not considered an actual berry. Ketchup was once used as a medicine in the 1830s. Sounds crazy, right? It was sold in capsules to treat diarrhea, indigestion, and jaundice. Obviously, they didn't work very well, otherwise they'd still be around now. But while we're on it, someone actually patented sliced ketchup. These slices of ketchup kind of remind me of fruit leather, and they're sold in the same fashion as sliced cheeses. If you're up for some rather unique cheese, I'll leave this on your plate. Casu Marzdo, which, given my rough pronunciation, translates from Scandinavian to mean rotten cheese. I've had some pretty stinky cheeses, but rotten cheese? No thanks. This delicacy is made from sheep's milk and is crawling with maggots. In fact, many people who enjoy this cheese say that if the maggots are dead, the cheese has decayed to the point where it's no longer fit for human consumption. The larva is invited during the ripening process because of the enzyme that it carries that promotes fermentation. Apparently, this leads to a taste that's on par with a pungent gorgonzola cheese, and it has a soft, creamy texture. I don't know about you, but that fact just leaves my skin crawling. I figured I'd leave the most bizarre fact for last. Scientists believe cockroach milk could be the next superfood. Yeah, that was my reaction when I read the headline, too. And no, this isn't some sort of cruel joke, although I wish it were. Researchers are studying the benefits associated with the protein crystals found in the milk of the Pacific beetle cockroach. This is quite fascinating, considering it's currently the only cockroach known to give a physical birth to its young instead of releasing a sac. The Indian research team claims that the milk's protein crystals are what they consider a complete food. Researchers are hoping that this will be the answer to population growth in areas with widespread famine. Scientists are looking to synthesize the protein crystals found in the Pacific beetle roach's milk and will do so in a lab. I'm so glad I could share these bizarre and out-of-sight food facts with you. If you missed last week's segment on food safety, be sure to check it out at thecultivatedclassroom.com. As always, shoot me an email at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com for all of your culinary questions. Have an outstanding weekend, and until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com. It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Well, good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a nice, cool morning here. I think this is supposed to be spring, but it feels like almost like a late winter day outside today. Sitting here today trying to do the radio show. I have no power at my house, so y'all have to bear with me a little bit. The wind has knocked out the power in our entire area. So I'm actually doing this by candlelight and by flashlight today. So I guess it's kind of a romantic radio show today. Today I'm talking about something a little bit different. And I realize that there is there's a lot of people out there that may have exception to what I talk about today. If you are, I apologize ahead of time. But I also want you to understand that I'm not anti what I'm going to be talking about today. I decided I'd put together something about alcohol and families. You know, it's getting that time of the year. Baseball's in the air. You can smell barbecue smoke almost daily now that Old Man Winter has passed and the comfortable temperatures have lured people and families out in the yard for fun and such. You can't go down the neighborhood now. You don't see people sitting out in the yard enjoying the spring weather and barbecue pits are going. Now, before I begin again, I want to say this. Please understand that I am not a prude who thinks alcohol should be banned, but I'm thinking that sometime we let the ethyl in the call hall overload our brains or our other parts of our body. Summer and alcohol seem to go together, but there comes a time when individuals, host, family members, and other revelers, you know, we need to say enough is enough. I urge everyone, if you know of someone you care about who's been drinking and decides to get into a 4,000-pound automobile, stop the person. And that's basically the gist of what I'm going to talk about today. You know, it's bad enough that we may get arrested, get our car towed, and that person, that loved one of ours, placed into the legal system, let alone what happens if they're responsible for hurting or killing someone while in the process. You know, alcohol is not prejudiced. It will hurt, ruin, or maim anyone in sight. You know, there's another side of alcohol that needs to be addressed as well, folks. It's common knowledge that the most common police call in all jurisdictions is usually domestic disputes. I can't tell you how many domestic fights or disputes have taken place due to alcohol. How many situations have gotten out of control because alcohol has made a person bulletproof and filled them with instant brashness. You know, most of you who heard this radio show understand that, you know, I'm a pretty good sized fellow. You know, 6 foot seven, 6 foot eight, and I'll tell you the other part of that. But back when I was a street policeman brawling and fighting in the bar districts of Temple, you know, it would seem like most people would respect your size, your brawn, and your abilities. But you get some person that's tanked up on alcohol, and they had to try the big old cop. You know, alcohol makes us bulletproof. And sometimes it gives us that insanity that we think we can do anything we want. And like I said, as I said in an earlier broadcast, there's not myself nor any police officer that is anti-alcohol. Matter of fact, you give me a good Crown and Royal or give me a good margarita once in a while, and I'll sit there and drink it with you. Not often, but once in a while. However, you know, your local law enforcement and myself are against anti-stupidity caused by alcohol. Alcohol many times brings out the worst in situations and in people. I'm going to ask you this. Please keep in mind that it only takes a fraction of a second to wipe out or end the future. It's not always easy to see when you're drinking and when that drinking has crossed the line from moderate or social into problem drinking. Got a little experience with that with a family member of mine. You know, but if you consume alcohol to cope with difficulties or to avoid feeling bad, you're in potentially dangerous territory. Nothing is going to, in a bottle of alcohol is going to fix the situation. Nothing in a bottle of alcohol is going to make a situation get better. Might make you forget about it a few minutes, but when that realization that alcohol no longer works comes into play, the problem is still there. Alcoholism and alcohol abuse, it can sneak up on a person very quickly. So it's important to be aware of the warning signs and take steps to cut back if you recognize them. I understand that, you know, many times the problem is the first place is to overcome it. This first step is admitting it. And here are some common signs and symptoms of alcohol abuse, which includes repeatedly neglecting your responsibilities home, your work, or school because you're drinking. And we've all seen that. We've seen people that come to work when they shouldn't have been at work because the alcohol is still in their system from the night before. You know, if you know somebody who's performing poorly at work, or some friend of yours who's flunking classes, neglecting their kids, or skipping out on commitments because they're hungover, that does tend to indicate an issue. Using alcohol in situations where it's physically dangerous, such as drinking and driving, operating machinery while intoxicated, or mixing alcohol with prescription medication against doctor's orders, all those are dangerous. But, you know, here in this show, we've talked a lot about, over the years that I've been associated with it, Matt has talked about, you know, the rights of guns, using guns. Guns are great, but I'll tell you what does not mix, guns and alcohol. I've got a lot of friends that go hunting. I've got a lot of friends that go out in the outdoors, and they'll sit there and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go try to shoot a duck or go up and get out in the deer stand. But you don't see them taking a bottle of alcohol, I hope, with them, because they do. They don't need to be in that deer stand or that blind. You know, it's important that we understand, folks, that getting drunk with your buddies, even though you know your wife will be very upset or fight with your family because that's going to happen when you get home, is not the cure-all. You know, it's a negative example of what alcohol can do in many places, in many times. And think about this. Think about your kids and seeing what you're doing. Drinking is a way to relax, Yeah, maybe so. But unfortunately, sometimes when that deep stress takes it too far, it creates stress and not unstress. Many drinking problems start with people using alcohol to self-soothe and relieve stress. Getting drunk after every stressful day, for example, or reaching for a bottle every time you have an argument with your spouse or boss tends to become problematic, folks. Very problematic. Drinking is a major issue concerned by law enforcement, trust me. Your area law enforcement officers enforces the law on drinking and driving very strongly. Your Texas Highway Patrol, that is one of their main aims. So, folks, my aim here with this topic is I want my friends, family, and all the citizens to be safe. That's the only reason I talk about this today. If you want to go out and lock your doors, if you want to get stupid drunk in your house, if you want to, you know, get so drunk that you defecate all over yourself or urinate all over yourself, that's your business. But when you get behind the wheel of a car, or if you hurt a loved one because of that, then it changes from being your business. You know, I've had to deliver death messages to loved ones in a number of times in my career. It's a horrific chore, which I personally have had to do so many times that I wish I could forget about it. You know, but when you have to go out in that door and you knock on it to tell some wife or some parent that their child died or their husband's not coming home, and it's all because of alcohol, that's a tough, tough hurdle to do. You know, let me give you some ideas on drinking and driving. Number one, please report any suspected drunk drivers you see going down the highway. 911, call in, report them. It may be some person who's just tired, but it's better to get them checked out than it is to let them run over and kill somebody. About every 20 minutes in Texas, someone is hurt or killed in a crash involving alcohol. We've already had this year in the first, I believe I saw statistics just a few days ago, in the first 4 months in Texas, we've already killed 630-some-odd people in related crashes, many of those alcohol-related. Of course, many of them are also text and driving-related, too. So we urge you to take responsibility for your actions. You know, don't drink and drive. Impairment begins with the first drink, the very first drink. Your gender, body weight, and number of drinks consumed goes up problematically. It also is affected by the food you eat and how much you eat, whether you eat or not. Two or three beers can make you people legally intoxicated. Now, let me explain this, folks. There's a major difference between legally intoxicated and being fallen down drunk. Someone my size, it would take a lot of alcohol to make me both legally intoxicated and fallen down drunk. Me being a basic non-drinker, I'd be throwing up before I ever got to that point. But there's some people that are functioning alcoholics. And that's some of the people that we worry about when they get behind the wheel of a car. Also, you know, women, younger people, and smaller people generally become impaired with less alcohol. It's common sense. In Texas, a person is legally intoxicated and may be arrested and charged with DWI with a 0.08 blood alcohol content. Now, think about that. That's not a lot of alcohol. Someone that's 120 pounds, that's probably two beers over a two-hour period of time, or maybe less. You know, and it's important to understand that, once again, it's not about whether a person drinks or not. It's about whether a person drinks and drives. You know, you can be charged with child endangerment, too, in Texas now. If you get behind the wheel of a car and you have your children with you that are younger than 15 years of age, it becomes a felony offense, and you need to consider that. Everyone needs to consider that. You know, drinking and driving is not just a one-person thing. It's not a free get-out-of-jail. It's not a $1,500 bond, and nobody forgets about it. People have lost their jobs. They've been embarrassed. It has an effect on everyone. And if you're going to take it to court, you're going to have to pay somebody like Rick Dodd or some of his people money to get you out of court and to get you out of the situation or to defend you in court. It's a $5,000 to $10,000 job any way you look at it, folks. How do you get around that? Real simple. You have a designated driver. Know not to drink when you have to drive by yourself. Take precautions. Even one or two beers, and you know you got to take your kids home or pick up your kids at soccer practice, it becomes an issue. You know, here we are. We're at the end of the school year right now. We've only got about 5 or 6 weeks of school left. college kids are going to be out and local kids are going to be out and about. Please be a parent and not a friend when it comes to drinking and driving. Kid parties, keg parties, land parties are all very dangerous for our young people. I know that in Milam County and Bell County, there have been a number of keg parties held at people's farms with the parents' consent. If that happens and someone gets hurt, the liability falls against that person that was hosting the party. If you hear of such parties, convince your kids not to go or to allow you to take them if they're going to go and they're bound and determined to go. Way too many times tragedies occur, and the end result is devastating for a family and friends. You know, it's prom season. There's a lot of kids that are going out, proms or dating. Be cautious. Be careful with your kids. Do your kids a favor, and don't encourage them by supplying them with alcohol or being the host of alcohol parties. And here's my question, folks. If you do, and a promising teenager becomes a statistic, can you live with yourself? I know I couldn't. And I think that's kind of what the whole bottom of the line about this is today. If you can't live with your actions, then you shouldn't do it. We need to try to do this. To try to make sure that we're the people that are going to be responsible parents. Once again, folks, I urge you, be a parent, not a friend to your kids. You know, and I'm not harping at all about alcohol. There are a lot of friends of mine that drink. I've got really good friends that can handle it and do drink. Just don't get behind the wheel of the car. Don't get behind the butt of a gun if you're going to drink and drive or drink, period. So until next week, everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful week. It's going to be 90 degrees next weekend again, so take care of yourself, enjoy the outdoors, and be safe. Oh, and one last thing I would like to say. This week, a good man passed away, and ask your prayers for Bob, a singing cowboy Bob, and most people around Cameron knows who he is. He is a wonderful man. He was a retired law enforcement officer out of Florida, a great fella. So until we meet again, Bob, you take care.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
It's a trust as true as Texas. A friend. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, April 14th, 2018. If you want to become part of the show, give us a call, make a comment, all positive, I'm sure. Give us a call at 254-697-6633. If you got your iPhones or whatever access you have to the internet, go to aaronsgunshop.com right now. Check out the Facebook page. A look at the picture of me holding the Citadel M122 carbine. This is the product spotlight sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. And we're going to be talking about that. Now, Arch Kuntz is an awesome guy. He's had ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer for quite a while now, and I've known him since he's been open. And he's got great product, great service, great location in the sense of it's a cool-looking building. You need to go check it out. And he sponsors the show, and he supports me, so I need you to support him. And we've got an awesome rifle you need to check out. Please go to the Facebook page, like us on Facebook, become a subscriber to the YouTube channel, and follow us on Instagram. So let me go and start with this. I got an article off of theamericanrifleman.org. It's by Richard Mann. It's the Citadel M122 carbine. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're, like I said earlier, a World War II enthusiast or just a fan of the M1 carbine, this thing is one-to-one scale, spot on. It's great. I have one. I love it to death. It's a great way to shoot an M1 carbine without shooting dollars down the range. So let me read to you segments of this article, and we'll go from there. The M1 carbine uses a short-stroke gas piston action and was used extensively by the U.S. military during World War II. This compact rifle, which fired a 30 caliber 110-grain bullet with a muzzle velocity of about 1,950 feet per second, was not all that popular with troops when it came to putting down the enemy. But many enjoyed carrying it because it was lightweight and compact. Still, the M1 carbine is an iconic American military firearm, is quite popular with both recreational shooters and collectors. Chiappa Firearms is part of the Chiappa Group, which is an industrial corporation based in Italy and is made up of several companies. The Citadel M122 is manufactured in Italy by Chiappa Firearms and distributed in the U.S. through Legacy Sports International. When I pulled the M122 from the box, I was excited to see how accurately it copied the original M1 carbine. There's even a bayonet lug in the Euler sling slot in the stock. Of course, this rifle is chambered for the 22 long rifle, which is what makes it so unique. Sure, the 30 caliber carbine is fun to shoot, but for a box of what 30 carbine ammo costs, you can shoot a Chiappa M122 all day long. And, unapologetically, that's what my son and I did. The little carbine ran like a top and shot well, and the trigger pull was just a shade over 8 pounds. From the rest at 25 yards using the open sights, which consist of a fully adjustable rear aperture and post front, 2-inch groups were common with all loads tested. The 10-round magazines were easy to load, insert, and remove from the rifle, and the action was easy to operate. My 12-year-old son had no problems loading or shooting the M122. In all, this neat little semi-automatic 22 rifle that, for most practical purposes, is better than one of the originals in 30 carbine. Not only is it less expensive to shoot, it's lighter and still maintains the historical mystique. And if you remove the rear aperture sight, you'll find a dovetail in the receiver so you can mount a rifle scope. Kids should have no trouble with the Citadel M122 due to its light heft. If Chiappa would correct the trigger, make it a little bit more smooth, this would be a really nice little 22 plinker. This, we're being very picky here. The trigger's fine. It shoots just great. Manufactured Chiappa Firearms, importers Legacy Sports. It's a model M122, chamber for 22 long rifle. It's got an 18-inch barrel. Length of pull is 13 inches. The overall length is 35 inches. It weighs 4 pounds, 10 ounces unloaded. It's got a hardwood stock, and the capacity is 10 rounds. Now, listen to this on the stocks. When it first came out, it came out with the wooden stocks, just like the M1 carbine. Now they've got, what is it, Trey, Muddy Girl patterns, the pink, all like splattered pink. They've got different, whatever. They got different colors, black, green, basically anything you want. But it's a neat little shooter. It's a lightweight shooter. If you get yourself a little oiler like they had back in the day with the original one, and you get yourself an original sling or a copy of an original sling, and you put that over your shoulder, it's a nice gun to tote around. It's accurate. You can adjust it for your eyes. And like the article said, shooting a box of 50 is a heck of a lot cheaper than shooting a box of 50 or 20 rounds when it comes to 30 caliber. So it's a great gun. ANC Firearms has one. If they already sold it, they can order you another one. Give them a call at 254-983-4417. Go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, and you'll see it. You scroll down a bit, and you'll see a picture of me holding it there so you get an idea of how nice it looks. Now, while you're there, I want you to pay attention to something. If you've been listening to the news, or you may have seen this somewhere, but there's been women posting pictures for the Second Amendment in solidarity with the pro-Trump open carry. There's this girl who took a picture of herself. She says, "Woman for Trump," and she's got a picture of her shirt lifted up briefly from her waistline. It shows the gun underneath her shirt. Well, she got some flack for that, so other women started posting their pictures. Well, I promoted that on Facebook and said, "Hey, ladies, post your pictures there." And we're getting some pictures coming in of some ladies promoting the Second Amendment and showing how they carry their weapon and so on and so forth. There's one in particular woman on my Facebook page. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page and scroll down a little bit, you'll probably notice what I'm talking about. So you need to go there, check it out. I think you'll get a little humor out of it, and you can respond to it accordingly. Ladies, show us what you got. If you're toting a handgun, take a picture, post it on the website here and the Facebook page, and we'll promote it for everyone to see. So that's going to be really cool if you do that. Now, I'm going to go over what we've got as a topic of interest. I ran long in the attorney segment, and that's normally what I do. So I'm going to do it right now and tell you what's coming up. So get your calendar books ready. Yesterday, first of all, we had our round robin competition. As always, it's fantastic. Had a bunch of people show up. Lots of good competition. Had some young ladies, 16-year-old ladies coming in shooting, and they did really good. And I'll tell you what, these ladies are petite in size, and they're picking up 1911s and revolvers. I mean, full-size guns, and they're tearing it up. You give them a few more times, and they're going to be very competitive when it comes to winning. So that's pretty cool. We had the Heritage 22 revolver with the 22 long rifle and 22 magnum conversion. That was the prize. Pretty excited about that. April 20th coming up is Ladies' Night. That's next Friday is Ladies' Night. So whoever you are, if you bring a lady, the lady has free range time. April 21st is the next license to carry class. That's Saturday. It starts at 2 o'clock. Class fee is $60. Now, I also offer it to somebody who already has a license to carry if you want a refresher, which I can't recommend enough. I'll only charge $40 for that. So if you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the LTC page, you can sign up there. But pay attention. One's for $60 as a new person. The other one's for $40 for a refresher course. Or you can just give me a call or send me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, and we can get you squared away there. May 4th is two for night. If two people come in, one gets free range time. So the first Friday of the month is two for one night. Second Friday of the month is round robin competitions. Third Friday of the month is ladies' night. Ladies get free range time. And I have a big announcement for May 12th. May 12th. The day before Mother's Day is going to be an all-woman show. Everything you hear on that show normally is going to be done by some of the women who participate in the show. We'll have Patty, my consultant. We'll have somebody involved with the legal team here who will come on and talk about the legal matters. We'll have Nurse Connie coming on, going over the medical side of it. We'll do opinion pieces. Everything's going to be related in a certain topic, and all the women are going to be doing it. It's going to be fantastic. I want you to mark that down in your book. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I can't wait for it. All the ladies are getting excited to do it as well. So mark that down your calendar. And that's going to be... You done, Trey? You done? Okay. May 12th. All ladies show. So check that out. Now, seminars. If you want some advanced training, go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the High Cap Adventure page and look at all the different types of seminars that we have to offer. We need to put a mute button on you.
Okay.
All right. So seminars, if you got some special training you want to do, just check it out on aaronsgunshop.com and go to the High Cap Adventure page. Gives you an idea of what we have. Become a subscriber to the YouTube channel. Lots of videos. If you got some legal questions you want answered, most likely we've got the topic covered with Rick Dodd or Attorney Benton Ross Watson. Like us on Facebook and subscribe to the or follow us on Instagram. Lots of ways to meet us. aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. You can contact me via email. If you want to be part of the show today, give us a call at 254-697-6633. Trey, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to have my guest on. He's in for a quick blip. We're going to have Kyle Van Cleve, owner of Cameron Small Engine here in Cameron. And he's going to give us some idea of what kind of specials or things he's got going for spring and summer. So we'll talk to you on the other side.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron Small Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and zero-turn big dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron Small Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Are you fed up with sports talk shows that water down the truth and cover sports you really don't care about? Then it's time for Bleacher Bum Radio, Central Texas' only answer to those namby-pamby sports talk shows. Join me, Buffalo Bill Whitmire, and the Bleacher Bums on KMIL 105.1 The Ranch as we bring you all the hot takes with our own special brand of commentary on all things sports. From the guys who can't even get into the tailgate, Bleacher Bum Radio every Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8:30 and again from 9:20 to 9:50.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. April 14th, 2018. Number here is 254-697-6633. And to my left, I have Kyle Van Cleve, owner of Cameron Small Engine Repair, formerly known as Cameron Seed. And Kyle, it's always a pleasure to have you back on because I know you're a hardworking individual. You got your stuff going on, and I'm sure you got a lot of good things to talk about. So what do you got going on? Say hi first.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Kyle Van Cleve, owner of Cameron Small Engines. Right now what we got...
I must say, too, Kyle's a sponsor of the program, so I want to thank him very much for that, too.
Sure, yeah. You
know, can't do it without people like Kyle, so he supports the show. Support Kyle.
Glad to do it. Right now, we're a dealer for Snapper. We handle Snapper tractors and zero turns, also Big Dog zero turns, and Echo handheld equipment, two-stroke equipment in that line. But they're running a deal right now through the end of this month. It's coming up pretty darn quick. There are select Snapper tractors that we have in stock. I have three of them in stock. They have a $300 mail-in rebate on those. $100 of that comes out of my pocket, so you get $100 without negotiating off of it right off the top. And you have room to wiggle, and I have one on the floor right now that is due for me to pay pretty quick, so I have incentive to wiggle even more. Once it's gone, you've got $100 discount from me. You mail in a rebate form, and they send you a $200 Visa gift card. So you got a $300 discount there right off the top. What they're doing is trying to flush out 2017 models. The 2018s have a new hood design, so they're trying to get the old ones out and the new ones on the floor. Those Snapper mowers and Big Dog mowers, we have financing available for. It's not in-house. It's third-party financing with your approved credit. Anything you finance has to be $1,500 or more. They've got several different plans you can choose from, several 0% plans, 0 for 12 months, 0% for 42, 0 for 48. You can do 1.99 for 48 and 3.99 for 60, and there's other ones they have for different terms that have some interest applied, and there's some rules for that.
Kyle, I got a quick question.
Okay.
You get certain products in there because you believe in the product. What, you know, you'll say, hey, this one's the best one because it's been marketed so much, but in reality, you know, because you work on them, that this particular one, I'm telling you, it's the same thing. I'll give you an example. I get people buying Kimbers and spending $1,000+. I'm going, okay, I'm going to outshoot you with a $400 1911. Mm-hmm. It's not the equipment most of the time. It's how you use it. So on this one, because you work on it, talk about the quality of this machinery.
And the stuff is quality. What we sell because we like it. We don't like it because we sell it.
Right.
That, if you follow that.
I follow you. Yeah.
We are mechanics, and I was going to touch on that later.
Okay.
We aren't salesmen. We're mechanics. We're... certified and trained mechanics, and they do that in the automotive industry, and you have ways to do that in the outdoor power equipment industry. And we have people in-house. Myself, I'm a master certified Briggs & Stratton technician, also an EETC certified master technician. So we have the training, we have on the job, and then we also have the manufacturers through central distributors put on update schools for the new products that are coming out. They go over issues that have been seen in the field. So we know what is coming in. Usually by the time they bring those up, we have already seen them. So we have continuous training. We probably spend a total of maybe 6 or 8 days, full days a week, mm-hmm. out of the shop getting training like that. And some of them are multiple day schools.
And you got the information and the skill to say if somebody comes up with a particular brand and you could say, well, look, I understand, I know that one, but this is how this compares, mm-hmm. and this is the pros and cons, so on and so forth. So ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you got a question before you go just buying it and listening to somebody who's employed by a corporation, come see Kyle and he can give you the ins and outs of a person who owns a business and wants to do the best he can for you.
Sure. Another thing on the sales side, we have some Echo equipment that they have nationwide on a sale program. PB2520 is a handheld blower. It's $149 on this program, and you get a bottle of pre-mixed, they call it Power Fuel. It's gasoline that is ethanol-free and already has the oil mixed in it, and it's 93 octane. And it's supposed to be good for 2 years once it's open. But it comes with a bottle of that fuel. Also, the entry-level curve shaft trimmer, which is a GT225, same price, same deal with the fuel. So that's what we got running there. And, you know, we're talking about service, if we got just a minute.
No, you're good.
Talking about service, we are service-driven. We are not sales-driven. This is stuff that I keep because people expect me to have it, and I'm pushing it because I would like to move it. But we have a huge, huge demand for service of all different kinds, stuff that comes from Lowe's, stuff that comes from Walmart, stuff that comes from Harbor Freight. If it's gas-powered, we work on it. Two-stroke, four-stroke, we do ATVs and utility vehicles. And part of my EETC master certification was compact diesel training. That is not my powerhouse, but that's something that we can do. A lot of this equipment comes with a diesel utility vehicle, comes with a compact diesel mm-hmm. engine. So we don't do any ag equipment, but we do everything lawn and garden and power sports. So.
What about trade-ins? I don't want to put you on the spot here, but if somebody says, hey, I want to buy this, but I got this, I'm looking to upgrade.
Yes, we offer trade-ins. I have acquired a huge, huge amount of used equipment for trade-ins, so I'm not super motivated to take anything you've got used. If it's like yard art, real bad shape, probably not. Okay. I mean, if it's been out in the pasture in the rain for the past 10 years, probably don't bring that to me. If it's cosmetically in pretty decent condition and I can rehabilitate it and resell it for a profit, yes, I'm glad to take a trade-in on new equipment.
Okay. What are we missing here that you do? Do you have access to the website? Tell them how to get a hold of you or your social.
The website is www.cameronsmallengines.com. We are there on Facebook. I don't know how the suffix for my Facebook page, unfortunately, but I think
you're too busy fixing stuff.
I am in charge of the social media stuff, and I don't have time for it. It's there because it's expected, and I just don't have time to keep up. But we are on there, but the phone number is 254-697-3452. If you need to email it, smallengines@gmail.com.
Well, now that you mentioned that your main priority is service, not to mention sales, but because we are cutting grass now, can you tell us about what you got to offer in the sense of how long it takes to get something repaired?
Right now, we have different people that work on different ends of the shop, and the ends of the shop you're on when you drop off depends on your wait time. Right now, if you've got a handheld piece of equipment like a trimmer or a chainsaw, a leaf blower, or a walk-behind product like a push mower, you're probably looking at 10 days or 2 weeks. We are swamped because the grass is growing, and nobody thinks about lawnmowers until the grass is growing. So,
that's the way it works. If you're in the garage end...
Yeah, the garage end, riding mowers or utility vehicles, it's probably 3 weeks. Probably 3 weeks plus.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we're really backed up.
Well, that's good to hear.
It's good and bad.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen, he's a local. He's a supporter to the show. He's got great products, great service, and he comes from good stock. He's a good man here. And I want you to support him because he supports me. And if you like what's on this show, it's on here because of people like Kyle and Rick and all the other ones who support us. So take care of the people who take care of this show, and you won't be dissatisfied. Kyle, one more time, the phone number, and then we'll take a break, Trey, and when we come back, we'll do some WTFs.
It's 254-697-3452. It's CameronSmallEngines.com.
It's always a pleasure to have you, Kyle.
Thank you.
Take care. See you on the other
power.
Side.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Small Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Small Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Since
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome back, everybody. The Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. If you want to be part of the show, the number here is 254-697-6633 or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and follow us on Instagram. Ladies and gentlemen, I haven't done this in a while. I haven't done a WTF in a while. And I'll tell you, I got a couple of whoppers here. So what I want to do is read them to you. See if we're on the same sheet of music. I was looking at the paper, and I saw this. It is, the headline is, Convicted Rapist, Murderer, Charged with Failure to Register. It's by Deborah McKeon. Reads as follows. Greg Anthony Johnson, 57, of Temple, was arrested last week on a blue warrant and was served Friday in the Bell County Jail on a warrant for failing to perform a sex offender's duty to register for life annually, which is a third-degree felony. Johnson's bail set at $50,000, but he is in custody on a parole violation. He was convicted of a November 12, 1982 Temple murder in January 1983 and July 11, 1978, a burglary. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison for the burglary and to life in prison for another murder, the Department of Public Safety criminal record website indicated. Johnson also was convicted March 26, 1979 for the sexual assault of a 22-year-old man in the Bell County Jail. He was discharged after he served 7 years in prison. He was paroled on May 7, 2015. Lady, I don't get this. Did you hear that, Trey? Commits murder, sexual assault, burglary, supposedly life in prison, yet he was paroled on May 7, 2015. How do you get off like that? See, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the gun that's the problem. The system is broke. So when you think about it like that, I want to defend myself from scum like this. However, if there's people out there who want to limit my capability of defending myself, you're going to have a fight on your hands because this is crazy. Convicted rapist out, paroled May 7th. Okay, let's go to the next one. This one's more disgusting than this, the first one I just read. Men sentenced to probation for gang rape of a 13-year-old. It's Colorado Springs. There will be no jail time for two men involved in the brutal gang rape of a 13-year-old girl. Like two other defendants before them, Tony Williams, 20, and Clarence Williams, 19, each received a minimum of 10 years of sex offender intensive supervised probation with a maximum of life on probation. The family of the young victim was outraged after learning the sentence Tuesday. There were six of them, and they gang-raped my granddaughter, said the girl's grandfather, who got in a shouting match with the Williams family members and was forced to leave. He protested the plea bargain, angrily stating the men should do time. The crime happened in late 2016 at Stony Brook Terrace Apartments. The child reported the crime to police 6 days before Christmas that year. She told investigators she knew one of the suspects who invited her to the apartment to play video games. She told investigators while at the apartment with a couple of other female friends, she went to the bathroom and her friends left. At that time, arrest papers say two men pulled her out of the bathroom and reportedly forced her into the bedroom where the other suspects were waiting before the reported gang rape happened. At a previous sentencing in February, the girl's grandmother detailed the horrifying crime, telling the courtroom the child was rotated around the bed like a hand on a clock during the rape. Her grandmother told the courtroom Tuesday that after what happened, her granddaughter might not be able to have children. Two more defendants are still to be sentenced. One of two is a minor. According to the arrest papers, of the six arrested in the gang rape, some are cousins and some are brothers. WTF in capital freaking letters. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a reason why we have guns. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. There is a reason why we have guns. Okay, Trey, let's take a break. Or let's go right into... I got a previous video that I did, and I haven't talked about this in a while. And I was talking to somebody else about this topic, and it came up, and I thought, you know, I'm sure there's other people out there. There's a little bit of difficulty on putting a bayonet on a rifle, and hopefully this video will explain why. Let's play that video, and when we come back after that video, we're going to have the awesome Master Cindy Keem, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy, beating me up doing something. So we'll see you on the other side. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. We are back now doing our product demo section. As you can see in the video here, which you'll probably see hopefully Sunday or Monday sometime, we're going to be talking about Blackjack Firearms, a model R1. This is one of his older ones. John Ferguson from Blackjack Firearms, I asked him to make me a gun a long time ago, and this is one of his early ones, so I feel kind of honored to have this one. I got special markings on here, too. But what we're going to be going over on this product demo, I want to show this rifle because I had it made so it could carry a bayonet. People are saying bayonets are dead. Well, I don't think so. I'd rather stick somebody than beat them with a stick, okay? So if my gun's out of ammunition, instead of me beating them, I'm going to poke them with the end of my blade. But there's problems out there because the military bayonet was made for a military rifle. So when a military rifle can be a little bit shorter than a civilian one. A civilian one has a 16-inch barrel. A military one, I believe, is a 14.5-inch barrel, and it's designed to carry the bayonet. And I've been reading a whole bunch of things and talking to people, and they say their bayonets don't fit or work. So we're going to talk about that. The first thing here, though, is let me describe this gun from John. He had it made for me. What's the first thing we do when we get a weapon, everybody? We check to make sure it's not loaded. So we're going to take the mag out of this gun and check. It's clear. I'm going to pull the bolt to the rear and check the chamber. And it's clear, and the weapon now is on safe. So the weapon is clear. And what I'm showing you, I'll give you a brief description of this gun. I made it, I had John make it for me with a 14.5-inch barrel instead of the standard 16 for us civilians, I guess. And then we had a flash hider put on it, a little different flash hider. I had a quad rail put on it with my bridge that goes across here because I like one long Picatinny rail all the way from front to back. I had John put on a saw grip. I personally like the saw grip. It fits my hand. The angle's right. And this one, this particular one's made from Tapco. It's not a Magpul or anything, but it's just a Tapco saw grip. And we've got a little angled foregrip going on in the front here underneath the quad rail for a little bit more convenient grip so your wrist isn't torqued out. It kind of makes your wrist go in a more natural position. And then we have here a sling swivel adapter on the side so you can carry it across your chest with no problem. It's got a fixed front sight post, and we attached on here a military flip-up rear sight. So in case I do put an optic on here, I'll be able to co-witness like we've talked about so many other times before. And basically, other than that, it's a standard rifle with a bayonet lug. But now, let's talk about this. Because I wanted John to build this for me so I could put a bayonet on it, I brought with me a bayonet. And I want to show it to you all, if you're interested in getting a bayonet to put on your rifle, what you may have to do to make it fit. I had an argument with somebody one time, and they said, no, you can fit this bayonet on anything. Well, it's true, you can fit it on there, but it's not going to fit the way it's supposed to fit. And here's what's going on. When you look at this rifle here, and you see the bayonet lug underneath the front sight post, for those of you just listening, if you have an image of an M16 with the front sight post, got the triangular front sight, and right underneath is the bayonet lug. And then above that, right towards the muzzle of the gun, we have the flash hider. But now on the flash hider, they have a flat spot on either side. That's where the wrench goes to torque it on. If you keep that in mind with what I'm about to show you now, I've got a, well, this one's a particular, this is a Chinese copy of one. I just did it for a quick reference. But here's the bayonet that the military uses. And there's the barrel ring. This is the ring that goes over the barrel. Now, if you have a 16-inch barrel and you go to lock it on your bayonet lug, what's going to happen is the barrel ring is going to be behind the flash hider, literally resting on the barrel, and it's going to rattle. And the blade sticking out from the end of the barrel is only going to be like maybe 3 inches, whereas it should be sticking out a good 6-7 inches. So what happens is the barrel length makes a very, it's very important when it comes to relationship with the front sight. So let me clarify. On my particular gun with the 14.5-inch barrel, when I go to put a standard bayonet on it, from the flat side of the flash hider to the bayonet lug is approximately 5 inches. The handle on my bayonet is approximately 5 inches. So the barrel ring is going to go over the barrel of the gun, barrel of the flash hider, okay? And it's going to lock into the bayonet lug underneath the front sight, and it locks into place. And if you can see that on the video, you're going to see the barrel ring is on the flats of the flash hider. The locking mechanism is on the bayonet lug. And the bayonet blade itself sticks out quite far. That's the way it's supposed to be. It doesn't rattle. It's on firm. Works great. If this was a 16-inch barrel, it would kind of look like this, if I can make it work, which I can't. It's too... It works too good on this gun. What's going to happen is this barrel ring is going to come down here, and it's going to wobble because the barrel is a smaller diameter than the barrel ring on the bayonet. The barrel ring on the bayonet fits perfectly on the flash hider, so it's stable, it doesn't rattle, and it fits perfectly with the length of blade being maximized on your gun. Anything else is too short. So in reality, it doesn't matter if you've got an AR pistol, if you got a 20-inch barrel, if you got a 14-inch barrel, 16-inch barrel, the key thing is that the flat of the flash hider is approximately 5 inches from the bayonet lug. Doesn't matter everything else. As long as those that distance between those two points is about 5 inches, you're going to have a stable bayonet on your gun. Okay, so I thought that was pretty neat. I wanted to bring it in and talk about it and show it. If you'd hold that for me, sir, we'll be good. So if you have any questions, go to Blackjack Firearms, bjfirearms.biz. Check it out. It's like I said, it's a restaurant. They got all sorts of things on their menu. You can pick whatever you want. Have a great time upgrading or having John or Steven build a gun specifically for you. It's a great place to go. Check it out. So with that, that's our product demo from Blackjack Firearms. We're talking about the 14.5-inch barrel and the bayonet lug.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. To my right, and we'll have it on video soon, is Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy out of Rockdale. And Ms. Key, it's always a pleasure to have you on board here. Say hi to everybody.
Hello.
We were discussing before we got on air just now as to what terrible thing she's going to do to me. Or she asked, what do you want to do? And I said, how about quick strike downs, knockdowns, if somebody's going to mess with you? 1, 2, 3, it's over. So, Ms. Key, why don't you explain that angle of it, and you can show and demonstrate on video.
Well, he said something about kind of what a guy would do to a woman, so I'm going to slant it along those lines, which would be maybe a slap, a grab, and maybe they would grab you from behind, try to turn you around and hit you or slap you or drag you off.
And since we got a few minutes, we'll do it on this side, and then we'll flip it around so they get to see the backside. Okay, so I'm coming up and saying, yo, girl, man, what the hell?
All this is that backhand block that we talked about. You have different areas of strife. If you want to stop it right away, you can hit them in the throat. You can hit them with the heel palm and then hit the eyes with the tiger. And it'll look like this fast.
That was pretty good. I like that one. It tells me I'm not going to do that. Okay, next one. Grabbing your hair?
Grab my hair. So I'm not going to let it. And here's this backhand block, but I'm going up. Now, because his arm is up, I know that he's not a come down with the same arm, except he might try with an elbow, but then I have my forearm here. But while he's here, before he can do that, I'm gonna hit him in the groin. Now, I'm not very nice. He's got tight pants on, good for him. I'm telling you guys, tight pants make it hard for me to do my job. If you don't have loose pants on, then I'm gonna grab a handful and twist. And it stopped my instructor. If it'll stop him, it'll stop anybody.
Every male listener just cringed at that. Okay. All right, so I'm coming in the hair.
Ta-da! Ta-da! Ta-da!
You're going to enjoy this one.
All right, next one. We'll do it on the other side, too. We'll turn around in just a second. But what's the third one? I'm going to grab you.
You're just going to grab, you try to turn me around. Oh, if you wanted to get, that's fine, that's fine. I'm just going to step back, and I'm going to hit you in the groin. Come up with my elbow, finish with the back fist, probably, or even an open hand strike to your nose. So, fast.
Wow, that's pretty good, man. If you learn those steps, one, two, three, it's done. It's over with. Let's reverse it. Woo! Okay, first one was, yo, woman!
And I'll strike his eye, he can't see, but they hit it really fast.
Okay, and then the hair pull.
I'm gonna come up.
Okay, and then the next one, you turn around, I'm gonna drag, yo!
I'm gonna step behind. This time, I'm just gonna slide back and hit in the front of the groin, and I still have my elbows.
No cup. Okay. Miss Key, what happened on that, Tiger? Did Rockdale, did it go well?
No, it did not. Nobody came.
What's the matter with everybody? Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you so they can take a special class.
The number is 254-721-2775, and I'm starting my summer new student special, which is $99 for 2 months. So if you want to come try class, that's a good time for you to try and sign up, because I'm only taking 10 students. That's all. I don't like horribly big classes, so I have room for 10 students, and come sign up.
And Ms. Key, I came to you and did some private stuff. Okay,
yes.
We won't get into it, but if somebody wanted to come to you, they don't have to get geared up, do they?
No, they don't have to have any gear for that.
So if they wanted to learn steps like you just shown here on video, would you have do you have things like that set up already, or do you say you want something special?
They can call and ask me for something special, like if they want to do a small group or if they just wanted to do it individually, because I know some people don't like to train with a bunch of other people watching too. So I have had, besides you, I've had other people come in and just train personally with me, and they can call and we can talk about how to set that up.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very good with a weapon, okay? Master Key is the weapon, okay? So I can teach you how to handle your weapon. Master Key is the weapon. She can ingrain into your soul how to become a weapon. So you really need to check her out, give her a call, go see her. What days, Miss Key, that you're open? Tuesdays
and Thursdays.
They can just come in and take a look, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm there from 5 to now. I've extended class to 7:30, and we kind of don't end till sometimes 8 o'clock.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this video will be up probably Monday or Tuesday. Check it out. Like it. The whole works. Contact, support this sponsors and support this show. And until next week, keep your powder dry and God bless.
The Hour, presented by Blue Emu.
I'm Allison Keys. NATO's chief says all members of the alliance backed the U.S.-led airstrikes on Syria in the wake of that alleged chemical attack. Syria's ambassador is speaking right now at the U.N. Security Council, which has been meeting since 11 this morning at Russia's request, over the airstrikes. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley says the U.S. is locked and loaded if Syria tries it again.
We cannot stand by and let Russia trash every international norm that we stand for and allow the use of chemical weapons to go unanswered.
Chief Pentagon spokeswoman Dana White says,